Hello, everybody. Today is May 26th. It's almost the end of May already. And today is government and social. We're back with the news. Not live this week, but you guys can tell us if you prefer this format or the live format.
Ooh, engagement challenge. A lot of people said it messed up their schedule to have it live.
Yeah.
But then other people said they enjoyed the interaction and that.
And then it could binge all at once.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll do it live and then make it private and then cut it up. And then, so it's like if you missed it live, you gotta either join Patreon or wait for the episode to come out.
But wasn't the whole point of doing it live that YouTube actually gave us a little bit of attention?
Yeah.
Yeah, they give us like a signal boost.
Yeah.
Whenever
you think as live. Long as the live is available to everybody. Oh, I see. Okay. That makes sense. Well, speaking of attention. Oh boy, do some people in the press love attention. And you know what? This is a polarizing event here. But the pro party are going to be super happy and super smug to read this headline.
Tesla drops lawsuit against Alameda County over Fremont factory reopening. This is, of course, Tesla and Musk and all of that. And so that was exciting. Because California was like, you can probably reopen, and Musk was like, we're reopening. And then
they said 1 week later.
Yeah, Alameda County was like, what? No, we need to make sure that you're safe. And he's like, we're safe.
Well, the governor said you could open, but you had to follow local guidelines.
Local ordinance, yeah.
So he opened anyway, got away with it, kind of buried their nose in their own poop. And now he says, okay, I won't punish you anymore. But I'm leaving.
And even if you like Tesla, you should be disturbed by this because it just proves if you have money, you're above the law.
Speaking of not punishing you anymore, this episode of the news is brought to you by Linode. Thanks, Linode. Linode is really awesome. That's where we host the Level 1 website and a whole bunch of other things. So Linode is pretty great. They just rolled out Kubernetes support. And so you should check that out, especially for, like, commercial use. So if you're on the Google Compute platform, like the GCP, and you want to compare that to Linode's offerings, you might be surprised. We did some tests last week on the forum, and there was one of our forum users that has about a $5,000 a month Google Compute bill. They got it down to about $1,600 to $1,800 on Linode. So you really should check that out. If you just want to get your feet wet with Linux or, you know, doing some projects, like you did the... what was it? Ubiquity? You can host that on Linode. That'll work out really well. There's an affiliate link below. You can get $20 if you join Linode.
Also, it's the age of, you know, digital activism, and every other cloud provider has some kind of contract with some evil dystopian entity. All of them. Do we know if Linode does? I don't think they do.
No. Point and click Mastodon instance. You want, you know, Twitter without the Twitter, Mastodon. I'm on Mastodon. We should run our own instance. It's a thing. Yeah. Twitter without Jack Dorsey.
He's just shout into the void.
I'm paying money to host my own tweets. What have we become? But definitely check out that Linode link. Big thanks to Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. We'll have a little bit more about that on Friday.
That used to just be called a blog. People don't really do that as much anymore.
It's a microblog, Krista. A microblog.
It's not even a blog because the protocol is not something you can just pick. Every computer has pre-installed.
Right? Yeah.
It's worse than that. But hey, maybe it'll pick up. Who knows? One thing that you can do on your private Mastodon instance that you can't do pretty much anywhere else at this point when it comes to social media is criticize China. It's not really allowed anymore.
There goes our YouTube monetization.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again. Well, no.
But one place where it is safe to criticize China is in the U.S. government. And not only to criticize them, but to lash out at them time after time, and the escalation continues.
MarketWatch brings us this article about the Senate passing a bill that could delist Chinese companies from U.S. stock exchanges. Yeah, so this is going to be... Does this dovetail in with the Pepper story? Because the Pepper story was heartbreaking.
Yes. If you are suspected of possibly being under the thumb of the Communist Party, then you could not be allowed to do business on an American stock exchange. Because it's like, you don't really serve the market, you serve your communist overlords.
Is this the era of economic McCarthyism?
Well, Did you see that? I didn't put it in. You know, it's not really tech story. I guess it kind of is. But the whole thing about, like, they're now tying tons and tons of college professors to getting stuff from China.
Yeah.
So, and that's surprising.
That's kind of a witch hunt. I mean, is it true? I don't know. But, you know, all of a sudden, it's this badge of dishonor. So, deservedly so? Who can say? I mean, China's not all that secret about there.
I just keep going back to that Bloomberg article where it was like, oh my God, they've backdoored our servers, and then nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing ever came of that, did it?
Nope.
The rock screen chip. That's such a great photography.
There's so many other vectors and poor security. On, like, literally everything that we have technologically these days barely works.
But we do have solid evidence of the whole Hong Kong thing.
Yes.
So, no one's in the clear here.
Yeah.
And our own government, when you talk about, you know, locking us down and taking our freedoms and things like that, certainly a time of unrest in this country. And when there's a crisis, of course, what do? You try to strip as many rights as you can and go as far as you can, which is why the Attorney General is pounding a familiar drum.
Engadget reports that Attorney General Barr seeks a quote-unquote legislative solution to make companies unlock phones. The FBI was able to crack the iPhone of the Pensacola shooter without Apple's help. So, just like we've always said, they don't need these powers to do investigations. But boy howdy, Barr and the FBI were upset that they had to spend so many resources unlocking the phone, and it was a difficult operation.
And they kind of are making the same argument that the copy protection people are making, where it's like, hey, you know, this is an inevitability. You can now break these phones no matter what. Eventually, protection gets broken. So why are we going through the song and dance? And just like the game company's like, no, the first day is the one that matters. His argument is like, no, time is of the essence in these cases. We must have it now. I don't have time to wait to crack it.
Is it weird that, you know, I read somewhere that there was a Saudi Arabian connection. It's weird that this is reported more than that.
To the shooter?
Yeah.
It was Al-Qaeda, supposedly.
Oh.
I don't know, out of what country? I don't think Al-Qaeda is known to operate out of Saudi Arabia, are they?
No.
But, you know, what's even more interesting about that, and speaks to the efficacy of those cracking softwares, he shot both of those phones before he died.
Wow.
Yeah. Still got the information out of them.
Missed the flash chips, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that is crazy. It doesn't, like, you know, Ben Franklin, when he was corresponding with France, had, at the time, uncrackable encryption. Why is there this holy war on uncrackable encryption? It's dishonest, intellectually.
I don't think that anybody in the current government considers the Founding Fathers to be something to aspire toward. I think they see them as basically insurgents.
Obsolete.
Yeah. It's just like, wait, what? No, we need those freedoms. Like, they were using those freedoms to start the country, and you mean to tell me that we're not allowed to have those freedoms anymore?
They don't want you to start another country, Wendell. They want you to suffer under this one.
Yeah, they need tax revenue. Which goes back to Ben Franklin. Now, this headline might make you look back at the other one and be like, but wait.
Yeah.
Well, those are considered extenuating circumstances, right? Like terrorism. You know, if they rule it to be terrorism, then it's actually okay to do whatever, to violate your rights or whatever. And, I mean, you can't really make much argument against someone who shot up a Navy base. You know, it's,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, maybe we do need to look into that. But this is an amazing headline. I worry that this will be short-lived, as further appeal will just crush it. But for now, let's celebrate.
9 to 5 Mac reports that the FBI cannot even look at your phone lock screen without a warrant. A judge has ruled. So this was a case where a guy was arrested, and it was drug charges. And the arresting officer looked at the lock screen, and I guess his handle or something was... No, he had a message on his screen or something that
so
had his handle.
It waters it down actually more than that. So you are allowed at the time of arrest to look at it. Still, what happened here was...
They turned it on later.
Later, the FBI turned it on. And you know, it was like that heads-up messaging.
Yeah.
Where like sometimes it'll just pop up the name that popped up. Let them link him to his alias or whatever. Or maybe it was the other guy. I don't know.
Yeah. But so
somehow.
This was a technicality.
But now, just keep in mind, First of all, if you plan on getting arrested, turn off that heads up stuff. You can. You can turn that off. And, you know, just as long as they, as long as you, after you're arrested, if they touch your phone, then you can maybe get some sort of.
Well, and it mentioned, the Barr article also mentioned that how Apple was going to encrypt iCloud backups by default, but the FBI did talk them out of doing that. But I wonder if, as an end user, you can turn it on. Like, maybe the way out for Apple here is to not do anything themselves, but just allow the user to do it, or allow the user to install software to do it, or whatever. Because then it's like, do you have the freedom to install encryption software on your phone? Because that should be a freedom that you have. It's like, I would like to be sure that my backups are encrypted so that even Apple can't decrypt my backups, because I don't 100% trust Apple. And that's not an option.
I doubt they will further poke the bear at this point.
Yeah.
With that legislation pending. Although I don't think Apple cares. I think as long as they are forced by law to do it, that gives them the out that they need.
Yeah, they certainly seem to be doing that for other regimes, like deleting VPN apps in China.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, human rights. Oh, no. China.
Profit, though.
And speaking of giant tech companies being in bed with their government, how about right here at home?
Google Cloud earns a defense contract win for Anthos multi-cloud management tool. So Google has basically said, look, AWS, Azure, whatever, they were competing for the JEDI contract initially, but they dropped out. And this might have been why, because they wanted to be able to offer this and say, hey, look, we weren't competing for the JEDI contract. This is just multi-cloud management software. It turns out most businesses use all of the cloud offerings. Like, there's, everybody's got a little piece of the pie. At Google, we're going to help you manage user authentication and security and security logging and audit logging, and we can do things that those cloud providers can't do.
They backed out of another government contract, maybe like an oil contract or something.
Well, the JEDI one was because of the AI stance of the Defense Department, so they said, but the other one might have been AI related as well.
But, you know, you pick and choose. It's not a huge contract as far as Google is concerned.
Yeah.
But still.
It's only tens of millions of dollars or $10 million or.
You know, it adds up.
Yeah,
it's good for a little pocket money. This headline is terrifying, and when you read it, if you're a sensible human being, you might be like, oh yeah, they're right. It's time that was reformed, because it's being abused every single day. But no. Reform in the other direction.
Yeah.
Not the direction of the citizenry, in the direction of the giant corporations. And I think probably what sparked this is during the lockdown, all of these services just shot through the roof. So they got way more money, but they're not getting all the money. And that's an intolerable situation.
Copyright Office. The system for pulling content offline isn't working. They go on to talk about how with the DMCA, these companies have to bother to find and issue takedown notices for that content. And this is the most horrible, lopsided, just myopic view of copyright that I have ever seen come out of the Copyright Office. It's terrible. So they want an even more DMCA. Meanwhile, like, independent musicians and stuff have been trying to do live streams of classical music. And guess what? The copyright bots automatically strike and automatically take offline. You want to stream yourself playing, you know, some violin concerto? Nope, not going to happen. YouTube system will take that offline immediately. Facebook, immediately.
The big thing that they hate is the fact that the websites themselves and the systems themselves are immune to any kind of backlash as long as they agree to those takedowns within the allowed amount of time. They think it should be up to someone else to police, to enforce these policies, not them. So,
what could possibly go wrong?
What will go wrong is they will get more of their way, and it'll be a darker future while we're all at home.
Like, oh man, you use classical music in your YouTube video? That's going to be monetized by Warner Brothers. And it's like, but I performed the music myself.
And it's probably like such an old piece that like what's really copywriting is like someone else's performance that your performance sounded like.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
To add the level of absurdity. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of music that has fallen out of copyright in the last 2 or 3 years as well. And the automatic copyright systems absolutely will still strike that content.
Well, how could they be expected to keep up with that?
Good system. 10 out of 10.
What a dumpster fire.
Last week we talked about the Arkansas public unemployment thing, portal. I can't remember what PUA stands for. Pandemic unemployment
assistance,
something like that. Yeah. So a programmer needed unemployment. He went on there and he was like, "Oh, this looks a little weird." And he got to poking at it, and oh yeah, everybody's information was exposed if you just change the URL a little bit, which is a security nightmare. So he alerted everybody, and I remember in that story he was like, "You know, I know what time it is. I made damn sure I called the press. I called the people in charge. I do not want hacking charges from this." Yeah. And prescient thinking.
Yeah. The governor of Arkansas is like, "Oh, you know, the governor shooting the messenger is the wrong tack," and Arkansas's PUA data breach experts say. So the press reached out to him and they were like, "Don't you think that this is a little heavy-handed? You're framing this wrong." And he's like, "Oh, we'll see what the investigation says." And it's like, "Are like, this is like the unemployment office telling people, it's like, here's a stack of forms and here's a filing cabinet that's full of everybody's forms. So we want you to fill out this form and just put it alphabetically where it goes in the filing cabinet." And you open the filing cabinet, it's like, "Isn't this like literally everybody else's stuff? Hello? Is there anybody here? Is there anybody even paying attention?
I'm going to grab a sandwich. Lock the door on your way out." So yeah, no, he insists that, and his soundbite there, it was so obvious. He has no idea what's going on.
Complete cluelessness.
And doesn't want to.
And that's the type of legislature in charge of, you know, encryption. Like that same personality type.
In charge of the state.
Yeah.
Everything. So, unfortunate. I don't think that guy's got too much to worry about, but he probably will be hassled unnecessarily.
Yeah. Sorry, guy.
But he did the right thing. So.
The other right thing probably would have been to just post it to 4chan and let itself work out.
Yeah. But then he's kind of screwing himself too, right? Like,
He hadn't filled it out yet, I don't think. Of course, he would have to go without unemployment. I bet his application is frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably
getting he's going to get his unemployment benefits around August 2021.
His widow will. If you think back to the days of we can look back fondly, even though we thought this were the worst days of America, but no, 9/11 only affected one specific place, but now we're all in trouble. But post 9/11, the government really, really locked us down. They started doing a lot of terrible things in the online world, and one of those things was to route some of our internet traffic through Germany. Now, why would they do that? Well, it turns out Germany had being the operative word, some really loose rules about who looks at the internet traffic going through there.
German intelligence can no longer freely spy on the world's internet traffic, top court rules. So this is a court case in Germany, and they actually said that citizens of other countries still have rights to privacy, which is incredible. I mean, you know, Germany
feels nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little surprising to see this come out of Germany, maybe. But they're saying, hey, even people who are not our citizens have some rights, and spying on their internet traffic is not okay.
Now, Krista, you are of German descent.
I am.
So I would like you, second paragraph, second word, I would like you to pronounce the name of this German intelligence organization.
Oh, no, I'm not going to try that.
I think you should.
My Oma, anytime I try to speak German to her, she just immediately starts laughing. So now I think that I speak like hillbilly German, and it's like really, really bad. I'm not sure what words are included in that. The Germans do this thing where they just like combine lots of words together, and that's why all their words are so long. I don't have the vocabulary to know where things are going.
People are paying for this news program, Krista.
Think of Linode, Krista.
No. BND.
All right, well then make a ruling on, is it Giphy or is it Jiffy?
I say GIF.
So Giphy, but then you don't get the wordplay for Jiffy.
That's true, but I prefer Giphy, and it's not rational.
All right, well, that's it, chat.
There's going to be a lot of engagement that explains why it is rational, but okay. Facebook's Jiffy acquisition sounds antitrust alarms in Congress. This is kind of a follow-up to last week. We reported on this. And so now Elizabeth Warren and other people in Congress are like, hey, wait a minute. Jiffy collects a huge amount of data. Facebook's in the data business. Uh-oh.
Facebook's answer to this was kind of just like, kind of brushing them aside. They're like, look, most, I think 50% of Jiffy's traffic comes from Instagram. So we basically own it anyway. Just give it to us. Come on. We're getting 400 million. That's more than it's worth. But yeah, I think all major acquisitions leading up to, and probably even after the election, are going to get this treatment.
Yes.
Because people are a little weary of big corporations right now.
They actually mentioned that. They said that they may try to put a moratorium on any kind of merger of any tech company any scenario.
Crazy as Cortez is pushing that whole idea. I don't know. Maybe there's some merit to that. I mean, the idea there is that as Amazon just juggernauts over all the small businesses, it could just gobble them up like candies. And that's probably true.
There was a lot of meta commentary in all of the news articles this weekend that, you know, there was that the one company that we're going to talk about that was a SoftBank. SoftBank invested in them. They've only got 5,000 employees, but they're, you know, a $50 billion company or a $70 billion company. I mean, it was just, there's a lot of really interesting things in that scenario. And then with the thing that's going on, everybody's working from home, so you need less and less infrastructure. You know, you could put together a company of 500 people and reasonably be able to manage it. And that could get to, you know, billion-dollar company status pretty easily because you've got automation and all this other stuff.
Why not? And then Facebook can buy it.
Or Amazon.
I should have sorted this is the one you were talking about, yeah. But I was faked out by that Facebook story, which is actually a government story and not a social story. It confused me. But you know what? No excuses. This is more about the Chinese thing. And yes, I don't think this is exactly the same legislative piece, but it does. I think this goes a little bit further than just listing you on this or delisting you. Yeah. This is more like you don't do anything with these companies.
Yeah. U.S. blacklists dozens of Chinese companies working on AI and face recognition tech. So they've got a picture of Pepper. I met Pepper a few times, not just at Computex, but also at Din Tai Fung in the bottom of the Taipei 101, because you can walk up to it and make a reservation if you want.
Was he weird? Did he stare at you like he stares at the camera here?
Yeah. No, I mean, it has a surprising amount of personality, but it's fairly innocuous. Because, like, I did actually interview some of the people at Computex, and they let me play with the software in the booth and stuff. And, yeah, it's AI. Yeah, it's face recognition. And, yeah, it's, like, the super good Chinese face recognition, as in, like, when I came back the next year, it's like, oh, I remember you. And it's like, wow, that's super creepy. But, you know, as innocuous as that can possibly be, I don't think that there's a copy of my stuff that's making its way back to the CCP. But maybe I'm wrong.
Wait till they turn on Hong Kong mode. Pepper gets real.
It's like I was seen on the street near a protest, and they were able to look me up because of my Din Tai Fung reservation. Yeah, that's great.
Once again, we must cast our memories back to a simpler time, and we thought the worst thing in the world that could happen to us was data breaches. And the big one that started it all, and our little rose-colored glasses, we said, oh, man, some people are going to get paid from this. Yeah.
Your Equifax settlement of $125 isn't coming, but the banks do get their $5.5 million.
Oh, thank goodness. I was worried about the banks.
Yeah.
Well, this says that the reason the banks are getting that is because they issued debit cards, I guess. The article implies that they issued debit cards.
Now, see, I had that same thought. You thought that meant the debit cards for the $125, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think it actually, reading further, it means that because of all the people who were terrified, they called up and replaced their cards.
Ah.
And the banks have to eat that money because it was an actual, you know, data event.
Okay. So that used up all of the $125. It seems like this is just badly administered. I mean, just terribly administered.
Yeah. Like the people in charge didn't really ever have any intention of giving any money to the people.
Yeah.
And they just sliced that pie up for themselves.
Yeah.
It does seem like that.
I like how they also framed it as like, oh, the press got it wrong and a bunch of people applied for this and we never expected that. We expected this to be, you know, only, we were going to notify the press by putting an announcement in the bottom of a disused filing cabinet at a lavatory somewhere. I can't remember the name.
This was only supposed to be for the immediate family of the bankers. What are you people thinking? Yeah. But even if they did pay it out, I think at this point it's down to like a couple of cents.
Yeah.
Because so many people responded. But it was capped. Why was it capped? We'll never know, because the government was negotiating for us. Because
Equifax is too big to fail. Wait, what? No, it's not. They can go under.
They did fail, didn't they?
Well, I mean,
no. They're still around, aren't they?
They're still around, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who trusts them at this point?
We don't have a choice.
That's the American dream, to own a business that literally can hemorrhage money and not fail. It's like, no matter what you do, it's not going to fail.
I think that's just the new normal. Once you hit a
certain... Store.level1text.com.
Which is not in that category. We could definitely
fail. No, we're not in that category.
I was thinking about like Sears and Toys R Us, and it's like, oh man, those guys died. But then I think that the things that happened to Sears and Toys R Us is now happening with privately owned hospitals. And it's like, oh yeah, hospitals will not be allowed to fail by the government. So what better vehicle for plundering wealth?
How about the auto companies?
Yeah.
The banks and the auto companies should have died. You can't have capitalism without a failure state. That's not capitalism anymore. That's part of the game. You can lose. The American economy is now a walking simulator.
Walking Dead simulator.
Now moving on to the social media section in earnest, let's talk about Twitter. And I'm always suspicious of these articles. I really read this closely to see where their data came from. It seems like maybe they figured something out here. But anytime that something is like anti-establishment, you always get the story.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Nearly half of Twitter accounts pushing to reopen America may be bots. There's never been a huge upswell of Twitter bot activity, but... there has been a huge upswell of Twitter bot activity since the start of the thing, amplifying medical disinformation and the push to reopen America. Yeah, it's not really working out so good for Sweden.
So if this is, like, say, Russia or China, is the idea to get a second wave in America? Is that what's...
I think the idea is to just create chaos.
Dissent, yeah.
Yeah, there are some people that thrive on... I mean, we've worked with people that thrive on chaos, that they will disrupt a project for no other reason other than to just disrupt the project.
And that is exhausting to deal with.
So
exhausting.
I think our major adversaries, in terms of nation states, are a little too pragmatic for that. I think they have a goal in mind.
Well, I don't even think it's enemy nation states. It could just be people who genuinely want to reopen America because it's like, this is cutting into my profits.
But do they have the wherewithal to create giant bot farms?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Think of like, have you ever, the Internet Archive has some amazing videos from the McCarthy era where, like, McCarthy is, you know, talking about stuff. And it's from, like, the early days when he was just saying really outrageous things. And then later toward the end, when he was in front of Congress, he was saying less outrageous things. And I'm just noticing a lot of commonality in the speech patterns and the things that are said and a lot of the stuff on Twitter. And what better way to do it on Twitter when you can, you know, be some anonymous Karen in, you know, Hoboken, New Jersey, and you're actually somebody in Russia or somebody in China or whatever. That would be a great way to create chaos. Like, imagine Russia having, like, the McCarthy thing, but with Twitter in the modern age.
But, you know, the stigma isn't there anymore because with the internet, you can always find like-minded people, no matter how crazy you are. Like, flat Earth is not a stigma. So how can anything be?
Well, I mean, at the time, for people that were communists, that they were not, it was not a stigma among that small group of people.
Yeah, but if your neighbors found out about it, they'd burn your house down. I noticed this. They must have pushed this out wide because I can't imagine my Twitter account's getting any kind of special treatment. But I noticed this when I did my toast tweet this weekend. It was like, who do you want to respond to this? And I was like, what does that even mean? And it turns out they're doing this crazy new thing.
Twitter is testing a feature that limits who can reply to your tweets. So you create a tweet and you say, only, like, if I'm going to tweet at William Shatner, for example, only William Shatner can reply to me. I'm not interested in the unwashed masses of Twitter.
That would, from a perspective of someone who runs, like, the level one Twitter account, that would kind of be nice because sometimes people will, like, retweet something or they'll tweet something at us, but they're also tag, like, 20 other people and then you get stuck in a comment chain. That really doesn't have anything to do with you.
But they would have to do that. And they want you to notice. And they want you to respond. So that wouldn't help you in that situation.
Yeah.
You know what we do notice? Large purchases from store. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know what we do notice? Linode referrals. Use that referral link below.
Subtle.
Now, this one actually, I must have saw it in two different places. And I just, like... I guess my mood at the time Because I put one of them in the social media section, I put one of them in the nonsense section. And you can argue that it goes in either place, because this is ridiculous. But this is kind of the dark side of GDPR.
Yeah.
And we've seen the good things it can do, and you can't argue with that. I mean, you know, the tech companies are just getting taken to the woodshed time after time. And that's great to see in a lot of cases. But then you have something like this, and I guess it's your right, but at the same time, wow. This, if everybody did this, imagine what the courts would look like.
Yeah. Grandmother ordered to delete Facebook photos under GDPR. So, this is a grandmother. She had pictures of her grandbabies, and she posted them publicly on Facebook. And she had a falling out with the mother, like her daughter, I guess, and the mother of the children. And she said, no, you need to take those photos down. And the court agreed. The court said, well, because you shared them publicly, other people could see the children here. You must take them down. And she'll be fined $50 a day for every day that she doesn't do it.
Now, do we always err on the side of take them down? Like, what if there's a separation in that marriage? And the father says, yes, post them. And the mother says, no, don't.
I think that, you know, for our audience that lives in the EU, they could undertake that experiment, looks like.
Leave your spouse. And then
just
give your
for
parents.
Fun. Experiment. You can remarry them later.
What would your mom have to do, Krista, for you to stop her from posting pictures of Rue on Facebook?
Our mom doesn't post pictures of Rue on Facebook. I think she probably will post any pictures of grandbabies that we have. I probably won't, but my mom probably will.
Are you against that?
I'm not real comfortable with it, but I also wouldn't take my mom to court for it.
Hmm. What if she was putting up pictures of Rue like, please run over this dog?
It'd be hard to run over Rue because Rue stays inside with us most of the time. So they'd also have to run over me because, like, if I'm outside with
well,
Rue,
and dot, 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 whatever it takes. Here's the address.
Just do it.
This I probably should have put this in the business section, because in the business section we're going to have a you know, a quick fire group of every week we've got more of these. More and more companies are falling to the big homeschooling trend.
Yeah.
but you know, one of the biggest, hate them, love them or hate them, they are one of the biggest.
Facebook says it will permanently shift tens of thousands of jobs to remote work. Up to half of employees could work remotely within 5 to 10 years, CEO Mark Zuckerberg says in an interview. So he's kind of hedging his bets here a little bit. It turns out that, you know, up to half of the Facebook workforce can be managed. Like, what they're doing is largely self-contained. They don't really need a lot of group collaboration, and what group collaboration they do need can be done with online tools. So not a big deal. It's a no-brainer. Are you going to pay for office space in San Francisco? I don't think anybody wants to live in San Francisco anymore because of the cost. So why would you force that upon people?
I think it's time to short those real estate investment funds that have big holdings in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Because all the big tech companies doing this, and those house prices are not going to survive that.
All that commercial space being converted into residential space.
Just put all those homeless people in there. Sure, that'll make your money back.
If you were a Chinese person who's buying up real estate in the U.S. to, like, hide your money from communist China, you're really upset right now. If that means that all those costs of living is going down.
I don't know. I figure you take a 50% haircut, you still feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering you could escape the Chinese Communist Party.
True.
Maybe that's what's going to save the economy.
I'm going to retire to Soho, Southern California.
We'll take all the rich people from Hong Kong and just transplant them. So that'd be like Operation Paperclip.
Well, you know, if we're going to transplant anything, we need to get on it, because things are getting really dicey over there.
Yeah.
Well, the Facebook has been in a very public battle with the NSO group, because the NSO group uses Facebook's products, WhatsApp in particular, to infect people. But now we're finding it goes even deeper than that. And as they are in the middle of a lawsuit, this is not going to look good for NSO in that court case.
The NSO group impersonated Facebook to help clients hack targets. So Motherboard uncovered more evidence that the NSO group ran hacking infrastructure in the United States. How exactly did they impersonate Facebook? Well, there's like five or six different ways they talk about here, but one of them was Amazon AWS. And so Motherboard's like, hey, wait a minute. They used Amazon infrastructure to, you know, set up parallel to, very similar to the way that some of Facebook's infrastructure is. Isn't that against Amazon's terms of service? No comment from Amazon.
They also had a lookalike domain, which Facebook has since gotten a hold of. And it turns out there's an investment company that just goes around and tries to buy up those domains after they've been used maliciously. And then they go to like Facebook and be like, you really should buy this from us for a profit.
That sounds like a great way for a group of friends to make a lot of money on the side. We should look into that after the news is over.
And the work from home endeavor, and you know, like not going in public. And did you guys take part in the reopening at all?
No.
No.
Yeah, I didn't go anywhere.
No.
And I'm so glad that I made that choice. I don't know how it went, but for all intents and purposes, people seem to be the reopening seems to be underwhelming in a lot of places. Like I looked at some numbers on the malls, and a lot of the businesses were just like, "Yeah, we're allowed to, but we're not going to bother." And then they look at the like screenshot or you know the security camera shots. Nobody there. People aren't doing it, which makes sense. If you're a giant mega corporation, that you're going to get in the e-commerce business in a big way right now.
Facebook shops turn business pages into online stores. Honestly, I don't know what took Facebook so long to do this because it's really dumb they didn't. Instagram will get a dedicated shopping tab. So basically, Facebook is saying, wait a minute, for these small businesses and other shops that have Facebook pages, we can let people sell stuff right here on Facebook. We can make it easy on them. This will be, you know, that's what Shopify did, and Shopify is Canada's second largest company or second largest e-commerce company at this point.
Facebook already even had like Marketplace. It just didn't let you take payment. Like you just had to do it in person. Yeah, but now it's going to be even easier.
Marketplace was just an awful, excruciating experience, in other words, and was not designed for any kind of volume commerce or inventory management. Or
it's more like Craigslist, yeah.
Yeah.
The really interesting thing here, and I guess the thing that Facebook's doing that nobody else has really tried yet, that could be huge, especially for the, what's the word? Simps. The simps will really love this. You as, I guess Instagram will be like the big place for this, but you as a influencer can engage a live QVC style shopping experience. So you can start streaming and then you can just push buy buttons onto your stream at any given time while you're talking about these products. So you can be like your own, Ron Popeil, who's the guy for OxyClean?
Oh, he over
Billy Mays.
Yeah.
Billy Mays.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to be, you know, a do-it-yourself Billy Mays, find some products that you like and boom, jump on Instagram.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
Who was the guy that sold the baseball cards? Don something. Don West or something like that. You ever watch those videos?
Uh-uh.
Oh, those are fantastic. Like, he'll do like the 75,000 card sets and like his pitch just keeps going up as he keeps adding cards to the table. Be dialing.
Can we do a parody of that? Because I've got a lot of Magic cards and we could do that. It's just like a fun sort of
thing.
We
got to sit down and watch like 8 hours of it to get the inflections.
It's like not only do you get the multicolored land deck, we're also going to go throw in these free artifacts. No, let's just not do that.
And finally, TikTok, the hot new property when it comes to social media, has traditionally had sort of a light hand when it comes to moderation. They're kind of like, yeah, we'll just let people do what they want. We're not really getting involved. We don't want to be a voice of authority here. But then at some point, they were like, okay, we kind of have to.
TikTok says it will explicitly ban Holocaust denial and other conspiracy theories denying violent events. Wow, it's only 2020. That didn't take long.
So here is the interesting one. They mention it here, but they didn't mention which way it goes. What about Tiananmen Square?
Yeah. Well, I think that depends on where you are, as we have seen.
But that's a little.
We're going to ban most things, but like we can't, you know, get rid of that one. Like that's not.
That's a little disingenuous when you talk about
it. Look, Google Maps is already doing that. Depending on where you are in Google Maps, different countries, their borders show up differently.
What about what's the one, the massacre? I think it was like somewhere in the Middle East that America for the longest time wouldn't acknowledge.
Oh, it was one of those. Yeah, that was another one of the depressing chapters.
The fact that we don't remember the name should tell you how effective that was.
It was basically an ethnic cleansing, and we were like, we didn't participate, but we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. So where does TikTok fall on that one? I guess go post some stuff about it and find out. That's easy to test, right?
You know, it was fascinating that when we did the live stream, that thing that we mentioned is actually banned. Like, you couldn't say it. Like, the Chinese thing, you couldn't say it in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Some people figured out that you could post them with English in between them.
And it would work.
But not together. And posting them with other characters in between them also got caught sometimes.
Yeah.
So, weird rules.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, don't you think, with like deep fake type technology and some of the other technology, because like when it was in WeChat, it was not just deleting things you were saying, it was also saying other things. Don't you think that in 10 years' time, when deep fakery and stuff like that is relatively computationally inexpensive, that they'll just do things like that? So it's like, no, I said this. This is what was supposed to go out to the audience. And it was like, dear leader is amazing.
It was communist dog, right?
Yeah.
What if we used one of our Twitch emote slots?
I wonder if we would get an angry letter.
So when you submit a new emoji or whatever, I think it goes through like an approval process.
Not anymore.
So someone looks at it.
They lifted that.
So
now, like, they can come back at any time and deny it, but at first it just goes through because the backlog was too high.
I wonder, it's like, okay, you need to explain this. And it's like, we didn't mean this for what it means. We were just curious to see if the automatic copyright filters would, and no one will ever understand that.
Yeah, I don't think they'd go for that.
It's time to stand up all our own infrastructure on Linode. We're going to work on that. We'll see you Wednesday with business news.
I think it's going to be all business. So we have a weird separation this week. We did social media today.
We did do social media.
So I think we'll do business and security.
Okay. Is Friday going to be all nonsense?
No, Friday will be nonsense, robot, and design. But robot and design is like five stories.
Hmm.
But nonsense is massive this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Would it be better to do nonsense with security?
No, we can have a nonsense heavy episode. People really like the nonsense episodes.
They really do.
Well, look forward to that.
I like the nonsense.
And we'll see you then. Krista, now that you've fixed your...
We'll see if it works. Bye!
Perfect.
Did it go?
It did.